Today's episode of the Not That Great Podcast is brought to you by Anchor. We are an Anchor podcast. We use it to do stuff. We publish with Anchor. We create. We let Anchor distribute. That's how you're able to hear us on Spotify. You can also hear us on all the other places you can get podcasts. Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all that good stuff. Anywhere you find podcasts, you can find us. If you feel like making a podcast yourself, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Today on the Return Podcast, we have a lot of returns in these trying times. Alex Brown, talked to him yesterday, talking about the NBA restart. Today is actually opening day for baseball, and we couldn't get a baseball episode together in time because our resident baseball guy, Matt Fox, was too busy being an adult with a job. So we're going to be in advance of basketball, and then hopefully we'll get a baseball thing together as soon as we can. I'm curious as to why everyone wants to talk about the Reds after no one's talked about the Reds for decades. Today with Alex Brown, we talked about bubble teams coming together, being forced into this kind of new dichotomy situation with spending a lot of time with your teammates, not seeing anyone from your inner circle. Could teams bond from that? Alex took that opportunity to go on a Celtics rant. That's fine. We need content. And then we talked about kind of just like the ins and outs of the bubble and who will succeed in the bubble. Are the Lakers a lock in the bubble, et cetera, et cetera. I'm feeling this bubble thing. I'm a little upset that these leagues didn't go a little more far-fetched with their mulligan year, which is basically what we're dealing with here. So that's what we talked about. So I don't know how long we talked for. Maybe it was an hour? I don't remember. All time is non-consequential these days. So, you know, airport rules for drinking and staying up till 2 a.m. watching wrestling. I didn't do that. Did I do that? I did. So enjoy. We're back. Hopefully, starting around of episodes. I've said that a million times before, but you never know what can happen. But we have actual sports back now, so we might have some actual stuff to talk about. Oh, geez, I'm just kicking stuff under my desk here. Saw the Red Sox get rained out last night. It was weird to see baseball in Fenway Park without fans and with the crowd noise being pumped in that they actually it wasn't just like random ambient crowd noise. It was like, all right, so someone strikes out, a Red Sox pitcher strikes out a Blue Jays batter, and there's like a crowd noise DJ who plays like the, you know, affirmative clap noise, which was, you know, kind of strange, but it did lend a little bit of, you know, normalcy to the game. And I mean, obviously you're going to hear that at ballparks all over the country starting today. So enjoy baseball opening day with this basketball podcast with me and Alex Brown. Moose is in the house. And let's go.
Make it a double, I can take it another. Get so hard to chase it, live up to. Yeah, it slides away when you're running. Like my Uncle David, who never lived to escape it. The trouble you were about to cave in. Give up to talking in your basement.
Back with some bubble talk. It's been, how long is it since we've had an episode? It wasn't a sports episode, but it's been at least a few weeks, or more than a few weeks, maybe a month or two?
Yeah, so the Last Dance was...
Yes, that's right.
What I can remember.
Correct, that was the last one. Al Brown here with us, or with me, I should say. No us today, just the two of us, I guess, whatever. Rambling.
Semantics. <I'm> rambling.
Semantics. No, zero... positive COVID tests yesterday inside the NBA bubble.
Yeah.
And that's what we're building on today. We're getting ready for NBA bubble play. It's a whole new game in that it's slightly shorter and it's in one location. So we're going to do a little preview action. And first we're going to start, Al. Obviously things are not as they always would be, but, you know, they're doing the best they can. And you've got a situation in which everyone's kind of on top of each other, more so than they would be in a normal, you know, season. Potentially you can get away from your team and blah, blah, blah. But these guys are going to be, it's them and the staff, and that's pretty much it, at least for the time being, and these rules get relaxed as time goes on. Is there a team that you think would benefit most from being, this is going to sound weird, from being, like, forced to hang out with each other, like, all the time?
So, yeah, there are teams that will improve. I mean, it's kind of interesting because some of these teams don't even have all of their players, and the NBA has been like a little bit like shadowy about what they kind of release as far as who is there. Like the last time I checked, Utah had only 8 of their players, which is a little odd because like, where's the rest of the team? You guys are starting soon. Has there been any sort of practices? Are you going to try and play in a playoff series with just 8 guys? Like, you know, and then you have Zion who left for a family matter. So I would imagine he'd have to re-quarantine if he even comes back.
It sucks because they basically finagled this restart around getting him to be in the playoffs and now he's not there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. The only reason that there are as many teams involved is just because they were like, we need to have Zion in this.
Right.
Like, that was like very, very obvious and transparent.
Where was New Orleans when the season stopped? Were they in like a 9-10 area?
No, they weren't. I believe they were a little bit below that. Probably in the I don't know off the top of my head. So what had happened was is that obviously they didn't have Zion in the beginning, and they started out, I don't have notes in front of me, but they started out like 5-22, and it was just absolutely atrocious. And then they went on a little bit of a heater right before Zion came back.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he came back, obviously that had a really great clip there.
Right. And
I think they could do well. I don't think that they would like make any sort of real noise in it. People just want to see Zion do some crazy dunk or like jump from, you know, 3 feet away and block some shot that goes flying into the empty stands.
Yeah.
So New Orleans is a team that could have possibly improved. A team that I think would also improve is a team like Memphis because they're so young.
Mm.
But, you know, so I kind of just went with contenders. I can do a little Memphis rant if you want, but there were two teams really that I thought of with this question, and both Eastern Conference teams. First one, of course, because I'm a homer, is the Celtics.
Yeah.
So, albeit Kemba's knee is troubling, when we signed him, I basically said to myself, I hope we can get 1, maybe 2 good seasons out of him before that knee goes.
Yeah.
So that turns out we only got a fraction of a season and way too many minutes in an all-star game before the shutdown. And essentially 4 months removed from the stoppage, which is, I mean, the equivalent of an off season, really. And that left knee, the knee that he's already had multiple surgeries on, is still bothering him. And, you know, I don't think I'm making any sort of groundbreaking, shocking, hot take here, but a guard who is so reliant on speed and agility due to his lack of size needs his fucking knees.
Yeah, no, knees are important. I gotta tell you, as a rapidly getting older man, just being alive, knees are really helpful.
Oh, yeah, I know. God, yes, I hear that. So he claims to be, you know, optimistic about being able to return in time to play, but, like, Jesus, 4 months and you haven't healed? Like, as soon as you started training again, it's automatically hurting you?
Right.
I mean, I think realistically the best we can hope for is some sort of like Kirk Gibson 1988 World Series moment from Kemba.
Yeah.
You know, like just like basically, you know, I can almost hear Vince Scully's voice, you know, and look who's coming off the bench. But that might be the best we can get from him. Now, having said that, you know, with the departure of that fucking mental case, Kyrie Irving, the culture surrounding the team has never been better. Tatum and Brown are, I think, in an excellent position to make real statements in this return. And even with Kemba out, you'll have Marcus Smart, who's one of the best defensive guards in the league, and Gordon Hayward, who is way better at bringing the ball up the court and distributing than he's given credit for.
Yeah.
But Jalen, I mean, his growth and his maturity is very apparent. Hello? Did I lose you?
Hold on. I lost you for a sec, buddy. Hold on a second.
God, I was on a roll. Those not last couple of...
Refuse to edit. Hello.
Hello?
There you are. I can hear you now.
Hi.
Sorry. Go ahead. Jalen. Jalen. I'm not editing this out. We don't have time.
Okay.
Sorry. It's not happening. Keep going.
All right. Got it. So Jalen. He's definitely more patient now. And he's not as reliant on his athleticism as he was when he first came into the league. Times where he would have just tried, you know, flying to the rim and basically end up just getting called for an offensive foul. He's now doing floaters and step-back jumpers. He knows how to take advantage of smaller players when he's closer to the paint. His ball handling has greatly improved. His defense has greatly improved. Gordon Hayward, and, you know, I have oscillated between like feeling bad for the guy and being like, come on, dude, fucking get it together. But I was doing a little bit of research, and this is a kind of startling revelation that I got. Yeah. So Gordon Hayward is the Celtics' most consistent offensive player.
Sorry?
I know. So I'm going to say this again so everyone knows that I am sound mind and body.
No, you're not.
Gordon Hayward is the Celtics' most consistent offensive player. And okay, these are actual numbers. So here are the numbers. I did not think this until I actually saw it.
I still don't think
so
it.
I know. So his overall shooting percentage is over 50%.
Okay.
He's roughly around 54% on pull-up jumpers.
Okay.
He's almost 40% from three-point range, and he's an 85% free throw shooter. He averaged over 17 points, almost 7 rebounds, and 4 assists per game before the stoppage. And he's pretty decent defensively. I think, and I'm really hoping, and I don't know if this is just me trying to wish this into existence, but I think that Gordon could have a huge playoff series here. His style of play, his ability to defend and distribute, and his ability to make shots in certain areas, I think is going to translate well. He's got a great half-court game, and in the playoffs, the game does slow down, and you need guys who can score in half-court kind of playing. So I'm not saying he's going to set the world on fire, but I think Gordon could be poised for a big series. Now, you add
also,
into that,
if I may interject real quick, yep, I think it also
interject.
Helps. Are they doing the 10 minutes in playoff games too, or are they just doing it for these first 8 or so restart kind of seeding games?
To be perfectly frank with you, I do not know the answer to that.
That would also,
I haven't, there's been so many weird bubble rule things that I honest to God just haven't paid attention to, because I've just been trying to focus on like the actual gameplay and not so much like rules, air quotes.
Right.
So, Jalen, Gordon, Jason Tatum got a Kobe Bryant tattoo. So he's going to be, no. I mean, you know, really the Celtics hopes kind of rest on Jalen. They're only going to go as far as he can take them. And I think this kid is ready to have his real coming out party. He had already worked himself into an all-star role, or all-star selection. Sorry, the coffee hasn't fully kicked in yet.
Gotcha. 10-minute quarters only for exhibitions, by the way, for the first few games, so not in the playoffs.
Got it. Which, yeah, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
So added into that, some of the youth that the Celtics have, specifically the ones that I'm thinking of are Williams and Williams, Rob mm-hmm. Williams and Grant Williams. Now, Rob, AKA Time Lord, worst nickname ever, is a 7-footer who cleans glass, and he was out for most of the season with a hip injury. I think a hip abduction or some weird shit like that.
Yep.
But now that he is healthy, you basically have someone that can grab boards, seriously block shots, and his putbacks, like him playing above the rim is pretty bananas, and has a lot of like young DeAndre Jordan kind of flying through the air and dunking on people sort of stuff. He's a total freak show. Now Grant, on the other hand, is an undersized big. He's only 6'6", but he's also 236 pounds, and he is freak show strong. You probably would not remember this, but early in the season, playing your beloved 76ers.
Beloved is a strong term.
So Grant Grant Williams was guarding Embiid in the paint, and Embiid lowers his shoulder and goes right into Grant's chest with a thud, like boom.
Yeah.
And Grant's feet barely shuffled. Now that might not sound like amazing on first listen, but when you consider that Joel Embiid is 7 feet tall and almost 300 pounds, if he puts his shoulder into your chest, it's going to feel like a fucking medieval battering ram. And the fact that Grant didn't even really need to adjust his stance, that is like extraordinary to me. Plus, even though he struggled mightily with his 3-point shooting during the season, Brad Stevens kept going to him in corner three situations, and he gradually, through just sheer repetition, has gotten a lot better at it. So I think that his 3-point shooting improvement could create a lot of spacing problems for just about any secondary unit that they're going to have or that they're going to see in the playoffs.
Got it.
The next one, moving on from the Celtics.
We've got 20 minutes in now.
I know. I can't help it. I haven't talked about them in a while. Jeez. I haven't talked about them in a while. Next team is the reigning defending champions, the Toronto Raptors. So with the departure of basketball robot Kawhi Leonard, notwithstanding, this is, you know, they're the defending champions. Yeah. You know, the Raptors found themselves also in a very unique situation. It, mainly because they were coming from Canada. So right. Toronto had to travel to Florida 2 weeks early to begin quarantine because they're an international team. Will that better prepare them for what is to come? This, you know, bubble, it's very possible. Toronto had a very, very serious injury bug that bit the whole team during the regular season. I think they went with 14 or 15 different starting rotations. And the 4-month layoff has given them the opportunity to heal.
Yeah.
Pascal Siakam, my guy, he's filled the Kawhi void this season in a way that exceeded any realistic expectation, averaging 24 points, 8 boards, 4 assists, and 50% overall shooting. Also, Marc Gasol looks like he lost 100 pounds. Have you seen him?
Uh-oh, no, but I'm about to. Let's check this out.
Oh my God.
Carmelo status?
It's like shocking. He couldn't have even been that skinny in high school. Like he is. Yeah. So, I'm not sure if that's a good thing. It might be. He could be faster, more mobile, better endurance.
But these guys, I don't know about, like, with the Jokic and the Melo and the Gasol and the weight loss, I feel like you want to be
Melo's a little bit different because he's not a shooter,
so he doesn't need to be cleaning glass. But, like,
Jokic's
do.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, to that point, the NBA is a lot different, and we have gotten more and more away from traditional post players. True. So they don't need to have that extra weight on to be able to bang in the paint, really, for the most part.
Well, you can just simplify that by saying everyone's pussies now.
Oh, come on.
Come on. Yes. No, I said it. Come on. You have to agree with that.
Well, I don't, because I mean, you know, the way that the game was invented was intentionally to be a non-contact sport. Though that was one of like the earliest principles of that game when it was being created, was that it was to be non-contact indoors. So, you know, I don't think that anybody should really be missing the days where Robert Parrish was taking Bill Laimbeer's fucking head off, or, you know, any of those. Like, I do think the post needs to come back. That can be a discussion for another time or something, but
yeah,
but it's just it whatever. So the game is different now. The centers are slimmer now. Marc Gasol especially.
And Jokic.
But if he is faster, more mobile, has better endurance, is able to get up and down the court better. I mean, if all those things are true, Toronto could be an absolute nightmare to guard. And add in the fact that they might just have the best coach in the league in Nick Nurse.
I like Nick Nurse.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's got the highest win percentage of all time as of right now. You know, albeit it's a small sample size, but he did just, you know, he surpassed Steve Kerr as the winningest coach of all times. Mm-hmm. I know that they're the number one seed, but I think the Bucks will end up blowing it.
Ooh, why?
So, aside from the fact that their best perimeter defender, not named Giannis, recently tested positive for COVID, Eric Bledsoe, I don't think that Coach Budenholzer is good at making adjustments. I know that they have the MVP, and obviously Milwaukee was like destroying people during the regular season. I mean, you know, Giannis was only playing like 25 minutes a game because he basically had a double-double at the first half. But playoff basketball is different.
Yeah.
7-game series, and it's all about adjustments and adjusting to the adjustments of the other team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Coach Bud has proven in, you know, first in Atlanta and now in Milwaukee that he can't do that very well. I mean, the Toronto series was last postseason was very, very indicative of that. It's almost like he's so monogamous to his game plan that in a 7-game series, the other team will figure it out.
Who do we think will be in there for Bledsoe? I mean, would it be Hill, or would you just trust the shooter in Korver, but he can't really run an offense, so would you?
No. Honestly, I think
Giannis runs that offense, so really, but
yes. I'm sure that they're missing Malcolm Brogdon a little bit, but I think they'll probably just plug in Dante DiVincenzo.
Hey, Nova.
Yeah, white Dante. Yeah. I think he's actually improved significantly. Like, he had a solid little season going, so he could get some really valuable minutes in this postseason. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just as far as the Bucks, like, also, I think the Celtics are well poised to take them out. So they played twice during the regular season, Celtics and Bucks.
Yeah.
Both times Jaylen Brown was out. They beat them once and they nearly won the second game, but it's kind of hard to beat a team when Chris Middleton shoots 85% from the floor on some like crazy hot streak. It was bananas. He just like couldn't miss. So that would like, that's not going to happen. But yeah. And then just kind of as an honorable mention, a team that could improve, but really won't do much damage in the postseason is Memphis, that I mentioned a little bit at the beginning. Ja Morant, who is, you know, a lock for rookie of the year.
Yeah.
He is so much better than I thought he was going to be. Like, I knew he was going to dunk on people and that he was going to be fun to watch. But the fact that his assist numbers are where they are on a young team that doesn't really have any shooting is kind of incredible. Because they are a young team that cannot shoot the ball very well. They make a lot of mistakes, as young teams do. I think they were one of like they weren't like the highest foul rate, but they foul a lot. They have a lot of turnovers. But I think that a young team like that, you know, you get Ja cooking and you get some of the other guys to get a little bit more reps and to be able to start hitting some of those shots. I think Memphis is going to be a really, really fun team to watch going forward.
All right.
So that was just kind of my honorable mention, but yeah, I think Boston and Toronto are going to be the most, will benefit the most from the bubble.
You'll get to see the Bucks and the Celtics first game in the bubble, actually, on next Friday when their bubbles kick off. Let's take a break real quick. We'll be right back.
Cool.
Next question.
You're throwing a curveball at me?
No, I'm not. We prepared for this. It's in the list. You got some dubious teams in there in the bubble. And we know that, as we discussed, some extra teams were let in so as to also subterfuge the fact that we wanted Zion in the playoffs, right? So do any of those teams, and while I got this up, let me just pull who those teams are, if I can find it. Let's look it up. And standings. And let's see. So below the 8 line, right?
Uh-huh.
Just the Wizards are below the 8 line in the East. And then in the West. Go ahead. You got something?
I was just going to say the fact that the Wizards are going to this. I mean, even if Bradley Beal was going to be there, which he isn't,
it's
it makes
absolutely
zero fucking sense to me.
Right. Yes. So we can rule them out of the rest of this question. And then below the line in the West are the Blazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, and the Suns. So my question is, who? The Suns aren't going to pop into the 8. That's not going to happen, right? Like, do you think any of these below the 8 teams have any chance of making real noise? Yeah, that's the question. Any real noise happening from these guys?
The only team that I can think of that would really do any sort of actual, I guess, you know, air quotes, damage would probably be Portland. New Orleans has too many question marks right now, especially with Zion not being there.
Right.
But Portland could make a little bit of noise. They've had some injuries. I believe Nurkic is going to be back. I'm not 100% on that one, but I believe he's going to be back. And I think Dame and CJ could potentially, you know, definitely light some stuff up. But yeah, I mean, once like, In the East, it should have stopped at Philadelphia, and then after them, it's Washington, Orlando, and Brooklyn, who don't even have like anyone on their team because half of them tested positive and shit like that beforehand.
Yeah, that's another thing I don't get about this. Adding all these extra, you had exactly 6 teams already clinch in each conference, so why not just stop? I guess you know what I mean? Like, why would you?
Yeah, so.
The difference between 6 and 7 in the East is 8.5 games. And the difference between 6 and 7 in the West is 1.5 games. So I guess you could say the Mavs would have a little bit of beef, but no one else was really even close. So why, like, almost double the amount of teams necessary? You know?
So, one, Zion.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, I get it. But, like, just take advantage of the numbers you had right here.
Yes, I know. You know I know. I mean? But they're, I mean, they're trying to maximize what they can get out of this. Yeah. And they know that the more teams, the more fan bases they'll touch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I think it should have only been, you know, 14 max teams. But
yeah,
yeah, I really the only one that I can see making any sort of real noise would be Portland.
Okay. I mean, that makes
mostly
sense.
because of Dame. Because yeah. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but he had that, you know, after Kobe Bryant passed, which seems like a million years ago, Dame went on an absolute heater and was just, I mean, he couldn't be stopped. Right. So if he can translate that into, you know, these 8 seeding games, maybe something can happen.
Okay. So no.
Really, for the most part, no. But if there is going to be a team that's not in the top 8,
yeah,
I think it would be Portland.
I mean, it's fairly top heavy. The East is used to the top heaviness. And then in the West, it only extends to the Mavericks as far as, you know, having what could be described as a decent season up until the bubble starts. Well, you know, it's exactly 6 teams, like I said before, in the East, and then 7 teams in the West could have a gripe. And I guess I have to roll with, because I'm going to watch, I have to roll with them kind of sweeping New Orleans in. Nurkic is back, by the way, for
I thought so.
The Blazers. And then Zion, what is he, still just like out?
He had a family matter. He left because of a family matter. They didn't give specifics. I don't know if that's because, you know, he had a family member test positive or if he had some sort of other family. It was just family matter was the only thing that we got. So.
Uh-huh. Well, is there standard protocol for a returning player for quarantine?
I believe 2 weeks.
I
believe they need to re-quarantine. I don't know how long.
4 days.
4 days.
Quarantine period for Williamson will be 4 days if the NBA determines he attended to a family medical matter, or it could last longer if Williamson left the team for other reasons. So you pretty much hope you get him back by the end of next week.
Yeah.
And that he tests negative.
Yes.
Because a positive test, I believe, would pop up to 2 weeks.
Minimum, yeah.
So, oh man, all that you do, all this shit, you get you try to sweep it under the rug.
Sneak your new golden boy in
exactly.
there.
Exactly, and then the first shot he gets, he's like, "Well, I mean, I know it's a family thing, but just like you know, you wouldn't be dealing with it if you didn't fucking try."
Like, can you just imagine? Someone giving Adam Silver that news.
Yeah.
Like he's always just like so like stoic and like, you know, reserved. I just imagine him being like, fuck.
he's absolutely furious, I'm sure. The Lakers a lock. Are we rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic for these other 21 teams?
No, and here's why.
Okay. Is this going to start another Celtics rant?
No, this does not. It does not involve the Celtics.
Okay.
There are former Celtics players involved, but it's not to do with the Celtics. Right. So the Lakers are basically like a top-heavy Jenga stack. If you have to resort to signing J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters to bolster your bench, that's a red flag. Mm. You know, for the Lakers to win this, absolutely everything has got to go right for them. There can't be any hiccups. Mm. They can't afford a single injury or a positive COVID test. And guess what? Rajon Rondo is out for about 6 weeks recovering from thumb surgery. Sure. Avery Bradley opted out and is not playing due to health concerns. Mm. So now they've lost their two best defensive guards, their secondary facilitator in Rondo, on a team that is already lacking depth. But don't worry, Dion fucking Waiters is here to save the day for you.
Hey, like, listen,
did he buddy, smuggle any edibles into the bubble? Dude. Will he have a total meltdown on national TV? Will J.R. Smith violate the rules of the bubble because he forgot that coronavirus was winning? Like, I don't really know. Like LeBron and Davis will have to play a lot of minutes. They would have anyways. It's the playoffs.
Yeah.
But those extended minutes in a postseason that is unlike any other, each one of those minutes will have to be absolutely perfect. Now, this is all without mentioning that Kawhi and Paul George are healthy and have a deeper team. That's mm-hmm. not mentioning that ever since Daryl Morey told Russell Westbrook to stop shooting threes, he's been a fucking world ender. Or the fact that Oklahoma City has the best record in the NBA since Thanksgiving, and that Chris Paul has statistically been the most clutch player in the league. Mm-hmm. The Lakers are not a lock. They just aren't. There's just too many things that have to go perfectly for them. Now, like, I get it. Anthony Davis is amazing. LeBron James, second best player of all time, you know, in that conversation.
Right.
But yeah, man, I mean, unless you're really putting all of your chips in on Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
You know, the darling of male pattern baldness to be your savior in a really clutch situation. I mean, I just super don't see that happening.
Well, all right. So,
and the West is deep, and there's a lot of teams that can really, really give them a good fight.
So they're going to see some of those teams right off the bat. Cause they're going to get, and from the East. So they're going to get the Clippers to start in the bubble. I think it's like game one on ESPN probably.
That's amazing.
They're going to get Toronto. They're going to get OKC and Houston as well. And they're also going to get Denver almost towards the end there. But is their entire depth strategy just people LeBron likes? Because it's like – or like people that – I don't
have
I don't
you seen
it.
Have you Dwight seen Howard, any LeBron Wade, team?
Jared Dudley, the younger Antetokounmpo, like – he's going to be starting with JaVale McGee and KCP. So I can understand. I could see where you're saying that it's weak, but does that at all? I mean, like they're a two player team. So, but especially without Rondo there, they would be a 2.5 if he was there. But I'm just wondering if like I'm kowtowing to the greatness of LeBron. And also, Anthony Davis is clearly no slouch. So the West may be deep, but when you – I just feel like they'll still wind up in the West Finals probably. Is that safe to say? I think that they'll shove some people aside. And pretty handy.
So – but again, everything needs to go right. There's a – I mean, yes, they – you know, having two of the best players in the league on your roster is certainly beneficial.
Yeah.
But again, they're going to have to be perfect.
Yeah.
And Davis does have an injury history. I mean, I wouldn't say he's brittle, but he does have an injury history. LeBron, not as much. He's for the most part been the Terminator his entire career. Mm-hmm. But I think everything is going to need to go absolutely right. Like they can't have a single misstep, because if they do, it's going to be rough. Now there's some certain things in this return that I don't know if anyone has really talked about it, because I think there are going to be teams that are contenders that basically use these 8 games as more of like kind of warm up preseason sort of thing. So yeah, I think we will see some upsets early on.
Yeah. But they might not if you have as much as you would think.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, there could be a situation where Memphis or New Orleans beats Utah and everyone's like, oh, what's happening? Yeah. Total upset, shocker. But I don't, you know, there are going to be lower seeded teams that are going to be, you know, really scrapping and trying to prove something. And then some of the higher seeded teams, some of the actual contenders will kind of just, you know, coast a little bit in the beginning. Yeah.
Memphis gets Utah on the 5th of August, by the way. There's some fairly interesting games. If we were talking about these you know, teams will probably be putting up their second line guys. That makes those games even more interesting, I think. Well, you know, if you're – imagine this, like, the youth of Memphis against, like, you know, the Celtics, if they've got a pretty good, you know, shot at whatever, that August 11th game might be, you know, kind of like a rising stars type of game that would be fairly exciting to watch type of thing. The Miami Heat being in the four seed still doesn't make sense to me. Can you explain that to me?
Oh, why they're the four seed?
Yeah, how the fuck did that happen?
Yeah, so a couple of things.
And there's one of their starters is Kendrick Nunn.
Well, so yeah, Kendrick Nunn has had a fucking hell of a season. So he ended up dropping a lot in the draft because of some unfortunate things in his past. There was, I believe it was a domestic violence charge. That ended up, like, he got kicked out of the school that he went to initially. Was it UCLA? It's been a while since I really looked up anything on Kendrick. But hell of a season. Yeah. His shooting has been incredible. Between him and Tyler Hero, I mean, they're both guys who would be, like, third, fourth in Rookie of the Year voting.
Yeah.
You've got Goran Dragic, who has been a star on that team, voluntarily coming off of the bench. Jimmy Butler, you know, for all of his kind of abrasiveness, is one of the hardest working dudes you're going to find in the NBA, and that's just
He annoys the shit out of me, too.
And, yeah, I mean, he annoys the shit out of me, too. Yeah. But neither here nor there, hell of a ball player.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, Spo is an excellent coach. I mean, his entire post-Big Three coaching reign, I mean, he's really showed us something. Like, okay. I initially didn't like him because I thought he was just benefiting from having, you know, Wade, LeBron, and Bosch. But, you know, this whole thing where he really, for the most part, hasn't had stars, he's been really good. So I don't think Miami is as surprising.
I think Spo gets a bad rap a little bit too, though. I think that, like, you know, not three, not four, not five era, like, you had to manage those egos too. You got superstars.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you got one of the biggest egos in the history of sports. And then
who tried getting him out?
Yeah,
initially.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and then, he weathered all that, and it's really a credit to Pat Riley for just, like, sticking with this dude and being like, "This is my guy."
Yeah, speaking
and
of
it's
too.
it is paid off.
Right,
Spo's a great coach.
None dismissed from Illinois. Yeah, and
got
then
it.
Transferred to Oakland University,
fighting Illinois.
Right. So I don't know if we know, but I've said it in the chat a bunch, that this is whenever anything gets started back up, as far as your leagues, your NHLs, your whatever, and it looks like MLS is kind of taking this tack. It looks like, I mean, there's some elements of some really fun stuff with this and with the MLB. Football looks like they're just going to cancel preseason, just play whatever. But there's not a lot of, like, a ton of, and my philosophy, which is fucking throw everything at the wall. You know what I mean? If you know, and as much as I am starting to sour on Bill Simmons, but him and his crew of people are always coming up with shit that's like, hey, let's do this in season. Let's do that in season. Let's change the playoffs this way. Do rules that way. I think this would be the season to do it, and I'm a little disappointed that no one really did something extremely revolutionary that wasn't particularly mandated by the fact that, you know, the reason that this season is like this is a disease, right? So, since it seems like they didn't do that to try to avoid the product of my next question, which is, should the champion of this season have an asterisk? And I think that, and this is sports wide, but I think that if we were doing, you know, 3-on-3s and, you know, every team makes the playoffs, single elimination tournament, World Cup style, all this stuff, they want to keep the structure as close to, you know, familiarity as possible to kind of avoid potentially being like, yeah, but that was in 2020. And, you know, even though the Grizzlies won the championship, you know, that was an asterisk. Yeah, year didn't count or whatever. is this an asterisk season? Do you think there's some schools of thought that think that it might be even harder, especially in the NBA, to pull this off in the way that this is constituted? So do you think that it's sports wide, I guess, that champions from this year should have an asterisk?
So, I mean, it has to have an asterisk. Hmm. There's no precedent for what happened.
Right.
You know, like, this is quite literally a once a century event. Mm. There's been work stoppages before, but those were because of lockouts and disputes over money and not because of a global pandemic. I don't think that an asterisk means anything more than a special set of circumstances.
Yeah.
And it should not devalue the title because, you know, regardless of who raises the trophy at the end of all of this, it's still going to be the Larry O'Brien. It's True. Still going to be a legit champion. And yeah. I would argue that the team that does win this should be given more credit considering the circumstances. You know, the note next to the asterisk should just read 2020 WTF, yeah. You know, and people will get it, you know, like yeah. for time in memoriam. Because right. it is bizarre. The whole thing that everyone is trying to say is the new normal is the furthest thing from normal. And I don't blame them at all for not trying to do some sort of, like, you know, not to call it a wacky gimmick, but some sort of, like, you know, like a play-in tournament or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because they were just trying to get so many things right that creating more variables would have just made it more difficult.
Sure.
So I do think that there should be an asterisk, but not for the reasons that a lot of people may think, I guess, okay. if that makes any sense.
That makes sense. I don't agree with it, but whatever.
Okay. Well, I mean, no, what is...
That's your balls. I totally agree with it. No, I'm fine with there being an asterisk there. It's just, yes, there should be some nod to the unprecedentedness of the situation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It can't not be.
But I think that the way that the question is usually asked, and I've heard it asked a bunch of times, is like...
In a way that devalues what they accomplished.
Yeah, no, the asterisk in sports is usually, yeah, that guy hit all those home runs, but he was juicing like crazy for like 10 years, you know? So...
Yeah.
There's no like... differentiation. There's no nuance with the asterisk. There's like slap an asterisk on that. And it's not like it was something that, you know, suddenly the hoops are 8 feet instead of 10. So, you know what I mean? Like, so the game's much easier. So that should be an asterisk. Or, you know, we were playing those as one-on-ones. So that's, it's, you know, it should be an asterisk for that. This is affecting everyone fairly equally. Despite the fact that Dwight Howard is trying to get everyone sick still. But I think an asterisk is fine, but, you know, with the proper context, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Proper context.
Last question, and actually a little bit of a whatnot from what I just said about Dwight Howard not wearing a mask all the time. Would you, if you're in the bubble, are you calling that snitch hotline for anything?
Yes. And do you know why?
I don't know why. Is it because Dwight Howard is too close to you?
No. Because I do not trust J.R. Smith to not J.R. Smith because J.R. Smith.
Oh, my God.
That's my entire answer. You know, if anybody is going to be doing some stuff that needs to be snitched on, it is going to be him. If I were a betting man, I would lay money down in Vegas on him being the one to fuck something up. It's
So a couple days after we found out about the snitch hotline, there was a tweet floating around from some girl who I guess is potentially known within NBA circles, and I'll leave it at that. But but her tweet was that she already got an invite to the bubble. So,
oh yeah,
right. So,
oh yeah. So I mean, yeah. With that, like,
yeah,
I'm going to tell you a story. Now, this story was originally told on the Worldwide Leader. This is a Bomani Jones story. Okay. I'm not taking credit for it.
Okay.
Now, he couldn't name names.
Probably not.
But he could not name names, but this was essentially the effect of his story. A very good friend of his, a credible source, was in New York City walking down the street with a professional basketball player.
Okay.
Not like, not one of the biggest ones, but someone who has definitely made an all-star team.
Okay.
They're walking down the sidewalk. A car pulls up to them. There are three smoke shows in the car.
Okay.
They say to him, "Hey, do you want to have a foursome?" He stops. He stops. He thinks about it, mulls it over, and just goes, "Yeah, sure," and gets in the car with them. That is the kind of life that professional basketball players live.
All right, so hold on.
So, you are used to that sort of thing, do you have any idea how much frustration you are going to have with absolutely no release when you're locked in a bubble? You goddamn right some of these dudes are going to be trying to sneak women in there. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you were talking about a bubble of alpha males who are used to getting certain things whenever they want it.
Yeah.
And if you deprive them of those certain things, pronounced pussy, then they're not going to function too well.
Right. Well, again, it's
I'm just saying.
It's alpha
I'm
males.
Just saying.
It's alpha males and Dwight Howard.
I'm kind of liking skinny Dwight, man. I know he's been a little bit, he's always been a head case, but as far as his basketball play specifically, he's been good for the Lakers. Skinny Dwight is okay with me. As long as he doesn't get everyone sick.
Well, I mean, fucking stop. Just wear a mask, bro. Put a mask on.
Do you know how many times I'm sure either one of us has said, "Dwight, just fucking stop."
Yeah.
Just stop it, Dwight.
I mean,
go back to being Superman. Shit.
And then also the other thing about him too is that he like lampoons the snitch hotline, like, "This is bullshit. I got called on the snitch hotline." But then also, like, he puts up social media videos of him outside not wearing a mask, where he's supposed to wear a mask. Are you telling yourself, bro?
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Yeah. No, he's always been that.
Yeah.
He's a uniquely frustrating person.
That is about the nicest way you could put that.
Yes. it is.
It's paychecks, man. If it's jeopardizing my paycheck that some asshole is out and about potentially bringing ladies in that aren't vetted and then not wearing a mask and all that stuff, like, I don't play. I don't get paid. I would absolutely use a snitch hotline.
Yeah.
You know, and this is
kidding?
Not only that, but this is part of a collectively bargained agreement. Is it not?
The players
had to sign off on this.
I don't know that specific detail, to be honest with you. I really don't. I would imagine that they did need to sign off on it, but I don't really follow the whole like rules, restrictions, and yada yada.
We're about to hunt this down, so hold up, because I want to know.
Oh, he's a dog with a bone on this one.
Well, I don't think it would be there
if the players didn't agree. It's okay. Yeah.
There's no way.
I mean, I would imagine most of their agents would probably make sure that stuff like that was in writing.
Yeah.
Just to cover their asses.
I don't think I'm going to find exactly what I want, but a lot of people are saying that Chris Paul is the lead tip giver at the snitch line.
That is not surprising.
Yeah. Not surprising, there's 90 tweets in this article about Chris Paul. Hey, Chris Paul called it tip light on me. The league has a system in place that allows NBA players to report potential rule violations. Apparently, it's already working. Yes, okay. So, I think it would have to have been in whatever agreement. It had to be part of the whatever the player signed, right? So, but I think that they probably – I think each player probably was like, there's no way anyone's using that. And then – they were out and probably saw people fucking around.
And Chris Paul was like, I'm definitely using that.
It's probably called the Chris Paul hotline. It's probably like, it's probably like whatever zip code and then Chris PA or something like that.
I wouldn't put it past someone like Chris Paul, who is like the competitor that he is, to use snitch hotline as some sort of competitive.
Oh, extremely thing. Dubiously. LeBron was out swimming with multiple ladies who aren't his wife, and like, I'm just saying.
I saw LeBron playing patty cake with someone. He wasn't wearing gloves or a mask.
This isn't Chris Paul. Oh, man. All right. Well, wait. Now I have to read this article about Chris Paul's snitch. Chris Paul's snitch is Twitter's answer to anonymous tips regarding bubble protocol breach. This has to be good. And then he tips him to coming in. All these articles are just like the same copy. Chris Paul's snitch is Twitter's verdict.
Trending on Twitter, Chris Paul snitch.
So let me see. These are good. Chris Paul hiding behind a tree. Chris Paul watching players. Chris Paul watching players take an extra juice box during lunchtime. It's him hiding behind a tree.
I will have to investigate the Chris Paul snitch memes.
Have you seen the NBA Bubble Life Twitter?
I don't have Twitter. I feel like it's an awful place.
An awful place, but you're a sports journalist. He said very
loosely. No, I'm not.
Extremely loosely. it's just like, it's kind of just like a haven for a lot of stuff that's usually pretty fairly accessible public domain. People getting haircuts and people kind of like interacting with social media, room decorations, people walking around. There's a video of Hassan Whiteside listening to a song he just found. Dudes fishing. It's kind of cool. I'm kind of into the whole, like, inside baseball of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
But it's not very, let's say, raw, right? It's fairly sanitized.
Okay.
And I guess another way to say it is, ain't no real shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So there's a bracket for a Spurs bubble cornhole tournament. So that's cool.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are they going to play that on the Ocho?
You would hope so. It's actually pretty funny. So I don't know, man. It seems cool. I like this bubble. I'm not sure how I feel about the other bubbles, because they're all not bubbles. They're just like still flying places, just closer. And that's like how the MLB is basically operating. They're just like, oh, we're still in the East. We still get on planes.
You know what's funny is that they were initially talking about having MLB in a bubble in like Arizona or something.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, that's fucking stupid, baseball.
I mean,
basketball did it. And they're like, you guys are doing great, NBA.
Well, hold on. So
they're just,
well, there's a reason for that though. You've got, I think it is stupid. And the reason it's stupid is because you've got twice as many guys on each team, at least, players. Arizona, I mean, I guess this is in Florida, so a rising cases thing isn't necessarily a disqualifier.
Yeah, no, the both of those states are fucked.
Right. It's just the manpower necessary for MLB.
Yeah, there's more people, and it would definitely be logistically much more difficult.
Correct. So what you could do is have multiple bubbles, right? And maybe kind of like play your games within your division. So like you could be regional.
Regional bubbles. Yes.
But it could even be five teams instead of 10. You know what I mean?
I thought it was just so funny that the response to what they were initially going to have was so negative, but then the basketball version, and everyone's like, oh, Adam Silver.
Yeah.
Great job, bud.
Well, I mean, but also,
because no one gives a shit about baseball.
Extremely fortunate, too, location that already is pretty well intertwined with the NBA has the perfect facilities for an NBA bubble. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, how many places have 30.
That is convenient.
Yeah. How many places have 30 baseball diamonds under of MLB size under like one roof? Like, that's not a thing, you know?
Nope.
So
very true. Very true.
So 1 week, buddy, and we'll get some ball down. We'll be talking a little bit more, which is good.
Alex, yes.
Appreciate you,
bud. I missed it so much.
All right, bud.
Appreciate you.
Love you.
Yeah, bud. Later, man. Love you too.
Bye.